now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lane. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up.
Indeed, 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 it is the Pancakes and Power Slam show. We are once again here with you live on a Tuesday evening, here to talk wrestling or wrestling, if you want to call it. I'm excited about what we have today. There's a lot of interesting programming that we saw throughout the week that we're going to talk about. And, of course, the Flavor of the Week topic, the weekly Flavor of the Week topic. This week we will talk about whether the mid-card titles should be, whether they should be unified. So that will be an interesting interesting little topic to talk about. And, of course, Raw, SmackDown, Impact Wrestling, ROH, just a whole lot of fun. So, and, of course, we have the trivia going on. Go to the chat room and feel free to let us know your thoughts to be said live on air, as well as go to the Crave Wrestling Twitter page and tweet at Crave Wrestling to say your wrestling thoughts live on air. So we're going to have a great time as we do every week for all of those who are with us weekly. Thank you so much for all of your support. For the new ones, for the new listeners, we thank you so much for taking your time to listen to the show. We have a lot of fun every week. And these are for the real wrestling heads, those who love wrestling and enjoy it and want to talk about it and just love to have interactive community networking, community, just fun and excitement. It's the reason why we have a lot of the trivia and the Flavor of the Week topic. The Flavor of the Week, for those who listen weekly or just about weekly, the Flavor of the Week topic is just random every week. It's just something just random that we just talk about. So if you would like to contribute in the Flavor of the Week topic, send your email to cravewrestling@gmail.com with your name and a Flavor of the Week topic, and we will do it live on the air. And I'll also give you some credit for coming up with the topic. So, all right, first trivia question of the night is, what former, Dean Malenko was known as the man of how many holds? I'll be nice, have a nice icebreaker to start us off with. Nothing too difficult, because the level of questions may get a bit difficult depending on, depending on how your wrestling trivia knowledge is. So we will get to the greater level of difficulty throughout the show. Again, Dean Malenko was known as the man of how many holds? All right, let's get to the WWE Raw in London, England. Pretty pretty interesting Raw. I'll let you know my thoughts about the whole show later on. Of course, we have the Raw correspondent, Derek, that will tune in with us later on in the show as well. And interesting Flavor of the Week topic next week that we will get to. And we also have some fun names in store to be interviewed. So far throughout the show, we've had we had the NWA Premier Champion Onyx, and of course we had, for the 1 year anniversary, we had the Pope, Elijah Burke, and got some fun names on deck for the coming week. So stay tuned every week, or stay tuned through Twitter at Crave Wrestling, or like Crave Wrestling on Facebook. We'll all start off with Paul Heyman cutting an in-ring promo, and him reading email saying Triple H is not there, and then all of a sudden Triple H's music comes on, and he comes out, he accepts the challenge, and he pedigrees Heyman. I guess that was a way to prolong the inevitable, basically. I mean, we knew that it was going to be a steel cage match. Once again, I don't think that this is a good idea. I understand that this was kind of spur of the moment, and I understand the reason why they're doing it, just because The Rock is, I mean, he's not even in the talks of a WWE return anywhere in the near future because of the injuries. So Brock Lesnar gets placed with Triple H again. I mean, you know, for it to be last minute, that's the only reason why I can understand why they're doing it. Other than that, definitely not a big fan at all. So, but it may be a lot better. It might be a lot better than I thought. Like I said, WrestleMania was a lot better. Their match at WrestleMania was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And, I mean, it surprised me. To me, again, I thought it was the best match of the night, just because of the passion that was in it and the level of competition. And just probably because it exceeded my expectations. I wasn't expecting it to be above average match, maybe slightly above average, and I definitely don't think that it was that. I think it was far above average, and Brock Lesnar looked in great shape. Looked like he got back in his old shape, like I said before. So because of that, it looks like Triple H, he wasn't Survivor Series of I think it was Survivor Series of 2011 that he went against CM Punk, or it might have been Night of Champions. Man, he just kind of lost it. And when he went against Kevin Nash, I think it was TLC of 2011, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was pretty awful. So, but he's gotten a lot better shape since then. So I mean, it should be a decent match. So. Then we got R-Truth defeating Antonio Cesaro. And I've said this before, I like R-Truth. I've been liked R-Truth. There's only one segment, one portion of his career that I didn't like. That's when he was with Eve Torres. Yeah, when he was with Eve Torres and he changed his music to it's time for me to get crunk. Like, that was just horrible. They tried. It was just ridiculous. Did not work. And at that point in time, I just kind of washed my hands on R-Truth. But the heel turn quickly got me back in his good, you know, he quickly got him back in my good graces. And liked him ever since. And I liked him before the Eve thing, too. K-Quick was okay. He was just kind of like the DX reject to me, because he was kind of, well, he was in tandem with Road Dogg at the time, and just kind of a DX outsider, kind of like Louis Spicoli was and Disco Inferno was in the NWO. But he wasn't more, he wasn't a lackey in that sense, but he was kind of like the outsider. So, but he went to TNA, and was, Ron and Truth Killings. I was a big fan of that. Won the NWA world title twice. So that's a big deal. I mean, that's a big, you know, accomplishment. I mean, I know that the NWA title doesn't mean as much as it used to. It's kind of like the King of the Indies title, so to speak, now. But I mean, prestige is prestige. I mean, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, you know, the greats have held that title. So, Harley Race, you know, the list goes on as far as legends that's held the NWA World Heavyweight title. So, for him to win it twice, I mean, and this wasn't the TNA's version. This was the NWA World Heavyweight title, because TNA was still under the National Wrestling Alliance for a long time in their tenure. And so it was the actual NWA World Heavyweight Championship. So kudos to the Truth for those type of for accomplishing those two things. And I think he's, you know, I think he's a good wrestler. So I'm glad that they're still, and like I said before, I'm glad where they have him. He's not the mid-carder that's just being fed to, you know, the main eventers or other mid-carders or people who are being pushed. So he's in a good position right now. So I'll be more than fine if they decide to involve him in a mid-card title feud. Next, we had Damian Sandow defeating Brodus Clay. I was okay with this, too. Sandow was getting a nice little ovation in London. Again, I like the fact that they're teaming these, that they're feuding these two teams. I'm okay with it because it makes the tag team division relevant, and I definitely think that the tag team division should be highlighted on the WWE. I mean, you have to think about it. You have 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, 1 hour of main event, half an hour of Saturday Morning Slam. So 6.5 hours of weekly television programming. That's weekly television programming, not including 3 hours of pay-per-view. So 1 week per month has 9.5 hours of WWE television. So and it kind of segues further down into my flavor of the week. I'm not going to give it away totally, but once again, well, first of all, the number to call in live is 347-884-8452. Once again, 347-884-8452. Blog Talk Radio, Pancakes and Power Slams. But yeah, it was great. I like the fact that they're using the tag team division this way. Before we go to Dolph Ziggler versus Chris Jericho, we're going to take a call. And like I said, the number is 347-884-8452. Let us know your name, where you're from, and what's on your mind. Caller, you're on the air.
What's up? Thank you for getting me on the show. My name is Patrick.
Hello. How are you, sir? Hello, you're on the air. Looks like he had some problems with his phone. Yeah, I'm sure that he'll call back. Hopefully we can pick you up again. Like I said, there's usually people on hold, so be sure to get your line ready. When you call in, the number is 347 884-8452. I think, can we bring him back on? Yeah, okay, we can bring Patrick back on the air. All right, are you back on the air there?
Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah. What's on your mind, Patrick?
Okay, I'm just calling in. I don't know what's the topic that y'all started talking about and anything like that.
Talking about Raw right now.
Okay, talking about Raw.
Yep.
Or match or anything like that we're on right now? Or
we just got finished talking about Damon Sandow, and we're talking about Chris Jericho and Fandango. So what do you think about that?
The whole feud between those two?
Yeah.
I mean, every wrestler has their moment, and every wrestler has their time to shine. Every wrestler has their time that they should have been retired. Chris Jericho, in my eyes, is probably one of the greatest wrestlers in pro wrestling, man, ever. But it just feels like, you know, him, Rock, and Triple H, and it's countless others that feel like they have to just keep continue wrestling past their moment. If anybody understands what I'm trying to say, it's like there's an era where you should be in and you should stay in it. And Chris Jericho, I feel like the old Chris Jericho with the crazy looking hair, yeah, we all loved that Chris Jericho, but the whole reinvention of trying to bring like a Y2J 2013, it's kind of really stupid. I mean, I don't knock Fandango for actually winning his match at WrestleMania, and I watched the match myself. I don't know if that really was the plot for him to win that match at WrestleMania, but he won that match. And I'm really into the phase. I'm really into the whole dance craze right now that's going on. But the feud that they have going on is kind of good, but then I always look at Chris Jericho like, well, he should have just stayed in his moment and stopped trying to overdo wrestling. I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, look at last year. That feud between him and Ziggler, it was just poor garbage.
All right. So all you got, Patrick? Got any more to share?
Yeah, that's it, man.
All right. Appreciate your call, Patrick. Yeah, looks like we pick up Patrick. I think he's called before, so he might get some frequent caller points there, Patrick. I think we picked you up before. But thanks for your call. I welcome, you know, any opinions. I totally disagree with what Patrick is saying as far as Chris Jericho. All the listeners, I'm sure Patrick's listened. Well, he's called in before, so I'm sure that he's a frequent listener to our show. Again, thank you, Patrick, for calling. Please call again, and hopefully we can get you. But, yeah, I definitely think that Chris Jericho is the Y2J 2013 is a great thing. Because I think his times as a heel, I mean, the thing is, what I don't like about Chris Jericho, what Chris Jericho's doing, I'll say that much, is that I wish that he would win more matches to make the people that he put over more relevant. Now, you know, Chris Jericho was one of the best ever. Shoe-in Hall of Famer, 6-time world champion, 9-time Intercontinental champion, you know, many different, you know, partners, tag team title partners, Big Show, Edge, you know, just a number, Christian. So he's done it all. However, I think that he needs to win more matches to make, for instance, Fandango, you know, he's supposed to make, I mean, there was a report on WrestlingInc.com that Fandango was supposed to, Jericho was supposed to make Fandango look good. Now, if you listen to the show throughout the weeks before WrestleMania, there was a different ideas that they were bouncing for Jericho. He was a originally supposed to turn heel, which I'm very happy that he didn't do, because we've had heel Jericho really since, I would say, the beginning of 08. He came back in late 2007, I think it was late November 2007, with Randy Orton, and he turned heel a little bit after that when he started feuding with Shawn Michaels in 08. And so we had heel Jericho, and before he left, he was a heel too, and he was feuding with Cena for a second. So we had enough of heel Jericho, and I mean, he was very good at heel Jericho, calling people sycophants and parasites and troglodytes and all of that. You know, that was a really good Jericho, but I think just the exciting rocker Ayatollah Chris Jericho, you know, circa 1999-2000, you know, it's good to live this moment again, because we probably won't see much of Jericho in years to come. So, you know, to go back to his bread and butter is a great way to go. So, speaking of that, let's see what our Raw correspondent Derek has to say about it. He is on the line, and let us know what you have today for us, sir.
Hey, all right, Pancakes and Power Slams, it's the best night of the week. And you have Paul Heyman and Triple H. Paul Heyman, I like Paul Heyman, but he gets old, he gets boring. Triple H, you know, he needs to do something. And this thing with Brock Lesnar, the cage match, yeah, that's fun. I haven't seen a cage match in a long time. It's been a while since you've seen a good quality one. So we'll see, but Triple H out. He comes out. He disses Heyman, Lesnar. He comes out the winner. I want to piggyback on your Y2J. Y2J versus Ziggler, that was an awesome match. Yeah. Unfortunately, Y2J loses because of Fandango. However, this could be something kind of good. Fandango reminds me of a young Y2J in a way. And I know Y2J is probably feeding off that. He knows what to do with this. And so it's pretty good. Fandango beats Regal last night, but Y2J outdances Fandango when it came to that. And that was a great segment for Jericho. I mean, he is just a constant performer. He knows how to make any situation look awesome. And, you know, and it goes back, an unexpected surprise, you get to see The Undertaker on Raw wrestle. That doesn't happen much. That was an unexpected surprise, Team Hell No versus, you know, The Shield with The Undertaker on Team Hell No, obviously. Ambrose pins Bryant. However, the match itself was awesome. And you got Ryback and Foley. Ryback, I think he's a heel now. Is that going to help him? Who knows? Ryback is Ryback. What's going to come out of that? So we'll see. And you were talking about the NWA title earlier, about how kind of like mid-card titles, what do we do with them? To me, the Intercontinental Championship was always the stepping stone to put yourself to the WWF Championship. But you cannot forget the NWA Championship with, like you said earlier, Ric Flair and Harley Race. What do you do with that title? It has so much prestige behind it. It's kind of hard to ignore. So as far as Raw last night, going back to Raw, Y2J, the heel thing for him, yeah, I don't want him to turn heel. He's doing what he's doing. He's great at it. Keep it up. So much love for Y2J. And the Fandango has really got me intrigued with him and Y2J. I hope, you know, that's really all the WWE has going for it right now, as far as my eyes see. But I wear glasses. So other than that, the Team Hell No and The Undertaker. Last night, it was fun to see The Undertaker. A little bit of nostalgia against The Shield. So what's going to come of that? Is The Undertaker going to hang around? We'll see what's going on. Pancakes and Power Slams. Best night of the week, Chris Featherstone for life.
Before you get off the line, Derek, are you there?
I'm still here.
Dean Malenko was known as the man of how many holds?
1,000.
There you go. That's Derek for you, ladies and gentlemen, the Raw correspondent, wrestling scholar extraordinaire. So thank you. Thank you, Derek, for your weekly review of Raw. And next week, interesting flavor of the week topic. Like I told you before, I mean, I'm really honored to have Derek on the Crave Wrestling staff. He's a former wrestler, and he has wrestled with the likes of Dean Ambrose. So next week on the Flavor of the Week, we're going to have Derek. Derek is actually going to he's going to lead the Flavor of the Week next week, and he's going to talk about his time with wrestling Dean Ambrose. And so he went by a different name at that time. So it's going to be a really, really fun Flavor of the Week next week. And he just might come back on the line this week for the should the mid-card titles be unified. We talked a little bit about it throughout the week, and we have a slight difference of opinion. So find out who favors what a little bit later in the show. All right, Dolph Ziggler and Chris Jericho. I think we, the caller and Derek and myself, really just covered that just about to exhaustion. It was a great match, and I was hoping that Jericho won, but at the same time, you know, Ziggler's a champ, and losing in consecutive Raws would just be a really horrible way to start Ziggler's title career, title tenure. But I'll still say this. You might throw stones at me. You might not like me. But I don't think Dolph Ziggler is a big draw. I will remain consistent with that. I did before. I do not now. I do not think that Dolph Ziggler will keep the World Heavyweight Championship longer than... Actually, I'll draw a cliffhanger for that. Check out Bleacher Report. I have a new article that I write called Over Under. And last week, the Over Under was Antonio Cesaro will be World Heavyweight Champion in 9 months, so around Royal Rumble next year. And my pick was under. I think that he will be World Heavyweight Champion before Royal Rumble. I might be wrong, seeing how they're just having him yodel his career away. But I hope that he wins the Money in the Bank and cashes it in before the year is over. That's my hopes, at least. The next installment of the over-under will be Dolph Ziggler will be champion come SummerSlam. So in about 4 months' time, Dolph Ziggler will be World Heavyweight Championship. So check out Chris Featherstone Bleacher Report. I should be writing that either tomorrow or Thursday. It should be pretty fun. So, all right. Like Derek said, Jericho was distracted by Fandango's music. At least Jericho lost with some distraction. So the way that they booked it, I guess, didn't make Jericho look like a chump or anything. So I can deal with that. But at the same time, you know, I just, like I said before, he should win more matches, period. I mean, to make people, I mean, if you really want to make people be over, I mean, for instance, like, you have legends, you have Hall of Famers, okay? Should the Brooklyn Brawler be in the Hall of Fame? I don't know. Probably so, I would say. He's been an agent for a long time, and Coco Beware is in it. So, but he had a career of putting people over. Has he been a world champion? No. Is he on a level of Chris Jericho as far as accomplishments? No. However, he put people over too because he lost a lot. So, you know, The Rock put people over a little bit in his tenure. Triple H, Shawn Michaels, those people. You know, even Ric Flair lost a lot. A lot throughout his career. However, he was still the number one guy in the company. So he would win many matches and lose many matches. And Chris Jericho has a pretty lopsided one-loss record in his return. Now, the athleticism of the matches have been great. I mean, that's why I like him as a face, because he just comes in and, you know, cuts a babyface promo and has phenomenal matches. But just having a lopsided one-loss record doesn't help him at all. I think that's, you know, the thing is, many people knew that Jericho was going to lose. I mean, they believed that he was going to put Fandango over, and that's what he did. Now, if it really meant something, Jericho would have won a lot of matches, and he would have, that would have lessened the predictability. So, yeah, win more matches. That's the point. Jericho should win more matches to put people over. To make putting people over more meaningful. Mick Foley backstage interview, and then Tensai defeating Cody Rhodes. Only fair, because the other teammates won opposite. So decent match. I like what they're doing with Tensai too. So kudos to WWE for at least utilizing him in some fashion. Team Hell No Talk in locker room, attacked by the Shield. Right back backstage interview. Just really trying to heal it up. Big E Langston defeats Zack Ryder. Now, I really don't know about this. Now, he's a decent wrestler. You know, I'm familiar with this NXT with him in NXT, and but I don't know if I want to see Big E Langston singles matches right now. He's Dolph Ziggler's AKA Heavy, and I think that he should either stay there, or he should have matches with people who are feuding with Dolph Ziggler. Or what even be better is, say for instance, someone would want a title shot and they have to go through Big E Langston to get it. For instance, Alberto Del Rio lost, but if he say, you know, Del Rio loses come Extreme Rules, and he wants a rematch, so he goes against Big E, the Raw or SmackDown afterwards, and Big E can beat Del Rio, and then Del Rio can be out of the title picture. Or Del Rio can beat Big E and have a rematch. So I think him being in that position would be better than him just beating random people like Zack Ryder. So, because breaking him off from Dolph Ziggler, I don't think would do anything for Big E right now. He had no reaction. I mean, people just aren't interested in Big E Langston. And so he just needs to be booked better. Just wrestling random matches is not going to cut it. Now, the biggest upset of the night is Shield extending their undefeated streak Roman Reigns retweeted a 6-0 undefeated record, but I think that might be one off. I believe it was televised wins, and I believe that was one off. So I reported on WrestlingInc.com about what the Shield said about the win, but I was just kind of thinking in my head, it said 6-0, but I think there was a wrong tweet by Roman Reigns, because it's, to my recollection, they're 5-0 on television, because they beat, I believe it was Team Hell No and Ryback at TLC, if I am correct. Yeah, TLC. And then they defeated, Sheamus and Ryback and John Cena on Extreme Rules. Elimination Chamber. That's two. And then the third win was WrestleMania against Randy Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show. The fourth win. The third win was a March Raw against, I believe it was Ryback, Sheamus, and Jericho. I believe it was those three. And then, so 4 was WrestleMania, and 5 was this past Raw. So I believe it's 5 wins. I might be missing one, but I think it's 5 wins. But the point of the matter is, huge win by the Shield. I believe this is their biggest win. WWE is really trying to do a lot with the Shield. A whole lot. And they're really doing the best that they can to really make them a legitimate team. Here's my only criticism with that. My only criticism with the Shield being undefeated and winning so many matches is that the predictability of them winning the tag team championships is through the roof. Now, if you can beat Kane, Daniel Bryan, and The Undertaker, you can beat Kane and Daniel Bryan. Because what's going to happen is they're going to have two people. They're going to have one person outside the ring, and then referee's going to be distracted somehow, and then there you go. For instance, they'll probably have Ambrose and Rollins be the team, and then Roman Reigns probably come in and spear Daniel Bryan, and there's the pin. There's the tag team championships. And then you'll probably have a Freebird rule after that, where any two of the three can team up and defend the title. So a little bit too predictable to me in that fashion, because I can see a tag team title match at Extreme Rules, and I don't think that there's any chance that Kane and Daniel Bryan would retain the title. So I think that they should be a little bit more, I think that they should kind of ease up on the undefeated dominance if they want to make them as tag team, or going for the tag team titles, seem less predictable. However, kudos to The Undertaker, though. I mean, for him to have such, you know, for him to have this just phenomenal, insurmountable, unparalleled type of mystique, streak, you know, legacy, accolades, you know, that comes along with him and his character, for him to put up the Shield is a big deal, seeing how he hasn't wrestled a match on Raw in 3 years. So he hasn't, but he has been on Mania. So, and he's won, you know, of course, all the Mania since then. So essentially, we haven't seen an Undertaker loss in quite some time. And for him to put over the Shield, that's a huge deal. And, you know, I really give major kudos to The Undertaker for doing that. Not going to spoil anything, but Derek did ask, are we going to see more of The Undertaker? And The Undertaker is supposed to be on SmackDown. Don't know if the match with him and his opponent is going to be televised or not, so check out SmackDown to see if it is going to be televised. Next, we get Mick Foley and John Cena talk backstage. Fandango defeats William Regal. Good to see Regal back. Like I said, I got a knack for European wrestlers for some reason. I like their Smash Mouth style. William Regal, Wade Barrett, Fit Finlay. I like Doug Williams. Big Doug Williams fan. I like Magnus as well. So, liked the fact that they brought William Regal in this home area. He lives a few hours away from London and Blackpool, but you know how when they go to London, they usually bring out Regal as the hometown boy. So, got some major pops, and so that was good. I think putting Fandango over him was a good idea. Regal got a ton of pops. Fandango beat Regal, you know, someone who was way over. So I think that was a good idea. And then the Chris Jericho segment after that was really, really funny. Got some retribution for the distraction and subsequent missed opportunity to be in the match to in the World Heavyweight Championship match at Extreme Rules. So I liked how that was written. AJ Lee wins the Divas Battle Royal, becomes number one contender. I think this is pretty inevitable. There were some rumblings about this actually being a WrestleMania match and then them being added to the tag team match at WrestleMania, tag team title match, and their titles being, you know, Kayla's title being defended as well. So I mean, it was just a few talks about their involvement, but Caitlyn wasn't even on the card, and AJ, of course, was a manager or a valet. So I think it was pretty much a given that AJ was playing possum and eventually took Layla. I believe Layla was the last person in there. Layla tried to get some cheap pops by wearing the Union Jack flag, London's, England's flag, UK flag, as her garb. So, but she really didn't get any, being a home, quote unquote, hometown girl. She really didn't get many pops. So that goes to show that Layla is just a shell of her old self. I mean, Lay Cool was the best thing going for her. Other than that, her by herself just is not working. I understand that Caitlyn's a babyface and they wanted a heel to win, but I was just Naomi's. I'm really rooting for Naomi, and I really am glad that they're giving her more time to wrestle because she's really acrobatic and she's really good. So I'm hoping for more time. She was really good in FCW. If you YouTube some of her FCW matches, you would definitely be impressed with her athleticism and in-ring work. Next, we get the Mick Foley and Ryback in-ring confrontation. Ryback really healing it up, just telling Foley to shut up, calling the fans stupid. I mean, really trying his best to garner some cheap heat. I mean, if there was any doubts that Ryback is a heel, I mean, those are long gone. He is an official heel now. It threw me off that they had the Shield come in and beat up Ryback. Now, I do understand that I do understand that the Shield beat up Cena last week. But Cena, of course, is the face. And they came in and did the same thing to Ryback, but Cena helped Ryback. The face-off, Ryback looks at, he gets caught slipping and looks at the chair and gets AA'd by Cena. It was okay. I mean, that ending was okay. And I guess that's the reason why Cena helped Ryback, but that the whole Shield involvement was kind of awkward. Especially since they're trying their best to make Ryback a heel as much as possible. So, decent Raw. I'm excited that next Tuesday actually will be a lot more in-depth on Raw because I will be attending next week's Raw. So I will, you know, let you know some off-camera notes. And the scheduled main event is John Cena and Ryback against The Shield. So that should be pretty interesting. And so, yeah, and anybody else who went to the Raw or going to the Raw. As a matter of fact, I want to plug a lot of off-camera notes on episodes as well. So for those listening, if you actually attended the event, please call in or tweet at Crave Wrestling and let us know some off-camera notes. But I'll be able to give the off-camera notes for next week's Raw because I'll be there. So pretty excited about that and should have a lot of fun just like I do all. I go to every live Raw that's near my hometown. So I'll definitely, this one would just be another fun and exciting live Raw. So I'll give you the news and notes from a live perspective. All right, let's go to, let's recap SmackDown and then go to the flavor of the week. Again, 347-884-8452. Again, numbers 347-884-8452. All right, like I said before, flavor of the week. Might have Derek come back on the line for the flavor of the week in just a minute. But before that, we're going to recap SmackDown. Fandango dances with Lillian Garcia, drops her and calls it terrible. Interrupted by Santino Marella. Fandango defeats Santino. By the way, Fandango has shirts available on WWEshop.com, by the way. Kofi Kingston defeated Wade Barrett. Sheamus attacks Mark Henry backstage. Alberto Del Rio defeats Jack Swagger. We get a Shield promo from the video camera. The Great Khali, Hornswoggle, and Natalya defeats Primo, Epico, and Rosa Mendez, who, by the way, was she was asked to go home from the European tour. He tweeted as personal reasons, but there is some rumblings going on around that she was intoxicated. So we'll see where that leads, whether she'll stay or go as far as her career is concerned. I don't know. I'm not going to make any assumptions as far as where she's going to go from here, but that's the latest on her. And then finally, Big Show and Mark Henry defeats Randy Orton and Sheamus. Those four wrestlers, superstars, excuse me, I think we're going to see a slight shift in the upcoming months. Still waiting on that Orton heel turn. So we probably will get that coming soon. All right, next we have Impact Wrestling. And first, Impact Wrestling started off with Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe defeating Kurt Angle. This was the second installment Corpus Christi, Texas. This was the taped version. They have the first one live and the second one taped. Speaking of Impact, I dropped the story on WrestlingInc.com today about Hulk Hogan's announcement that he made that TNA will be in Tampa, Florida on May the 23rd and seemingly subsequently May the 30th because of their format of one live, one taped. That's Hogan's hometown, so I'm sure they're going to do their best to try to push that event, probably have a TNA title defense or something like that, and really try to make that kind of a pay-per-view caliber Impact Wrestling episode. So it should be pretty interesting to see. The Bischoff and Briscoe defeating Angle piece was a good way to start off the night. Again, I really wish that Kurt Angle was in the title hunt or will be in the title hunt. It doesn't seem like we'll see him being in the title picture at the end of this Aces and Eights feud. I hope I'm wrong on that. I really hope that we do see Kurt Angle in the title hunt. But from what it seems, we will see AJ Styles in it. It seemed like they're grooming him to be the next, you know, the next baby face, the next guy that goes against Aces and Eights. However, it seemed like they may be throwing a swerve. So we'll see. D'Lo and Anderson distract. Briscoe hits Angle with the chain. You know, good cheap win to open it up. Briscoe and Bischoff power bombs. Angle post-match, and Anderson cuts promo. Like I said before, too much talking by Ken Anderson and Aces and Ace. They're a rebellious group, and he's just kind of changing, just kind of shifting the personality of Aces and Ace. They're not really anti-establishment, anti-Impact Wrestling anymore. They're just kind of like another faction, and I don't like that. They're still the best thing going in the TNA right now. They're still over, but doing things like that, having Anderson do what he's doing, I mean, I like the fact that he's having more of a voice, but staying in the character that he usually is, I like the fact when he was more no-nonsense and just kind of, you know, all about business when he first joined Aces and Eights. Now it's just kind of going back to the cheesy, over charismatic, you know, Anderson that just is not a good mold with Aces and Eights. Kenny King defeats Zema Ion and Petey Williams according to the X Division format, the new X Division format. Zema Ion now is out of the next batch of, if I got this correctly, Zema Ion is now out of the next batch of contenders because he got pinned unless he wins the contenders match to become a contender. I think that's the way it is, but Petey Williams will be in the next match regardless. Big exhale from that because it's so confusing. But like I shared before, I have a weekly editorial on WrestlingInc.com, Impact Wrestling Review, and last Friday, when I posted it, I said that, and most of the readers, I think just about every reader agreed with me. I said that the X Division, I'm glad that the X Division has some type of revival. I'm okay with that. However, there has to be a storyline build with this. I'm just not liking the fact that TNA is just deciding to just throw these matches every week. I mean, that's not going to fly. I mean, especially with the type of audience we're dealing with now. We need passion. We need storyline. We need all of those components to make a an anticipated match. The anticipation is just about non-existent with the X Division match, and they need more storyline building to because if not, this whole concept is going to get old really fast, and it's going to bury the X Division. So that would be my biggest critique with that. Devon versus Magnus, and Magnus attacked by Doc and Nux. Samoa Joe eventually comes out. And then Samoa Joe cuts a promo, kind of yells, and then he's placed in a TV title match. It's kind of, I was kind of confused about that because he, I just didn't understand how he got placed in the match because he helped Magnus. I'm hoping that we don't get either Magnus or Samoa Joe join Aces and Eights. That would just be not good because both of them need to stay where they're at. Like I said before, I think they should team up again because they were a great team. Mickie James defeated Miss Tessmacher. Great decision. I'm glad that they're bringing back Mickie James' character. Bully Ray and Devon talked to and attacked Joseph Park in the locker room. Maybe a return of Abyss. We shall see about that. Bad Influence in-ring promo. This was one of the funniest segments of the night. Interrupted by Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, and then Chavo and Hernandez appears and clears ring. The exchange with between Bad Influence and Bobby Roode and Austin Aries was really funny. Their mic work is hilarious. Usually Bad Influence definitely is, and Roode and Aries are they're decent talkers as well. And then they were just kind of bickering at each other. It was really fun. Devon defeats Samoa Joe. Of course, interference by Aces and Eights. And then AJ Styles defeats James Storm. Not a big fan of that new finisher, that submission hold that he got. But that Bad Influence comes in to celebrate with Styles, and the Styles takes them down. And then James Storm comes face-to-face with Styles. Styles walk away. Then Ace and Ace attack Storm and Bad Influence. And then Bully Ray cuts a promo. So leaving us more suspicion with will AJ Styles join Aces and Eights. So I think that's kind of tying into the AJ Styles being the savior of Impact Wrestling down the line. All right, real quick, ROH, and then we'll get to the flavor of the week. For ROH, basically the matches was, well, it actually starts off with Kevin Steen walking out for a promo, and then he immediately was interrupted by in-ring by Steve Corino, walks, of course, from the audience. And the Scum walks to the ring, and Kevin chooses to, we had the choice to either, we decided to part ways with Scum, so basically he had the choice to either, you know, kind of go their separate ways or kind of gets jumped, and he get jumped by the Scum, so I guess that makes him a face again, I would imagine. Roderick Strong defeats Mike Bennett. Mike Mondo attacks both of them post-match. Tadarius Thomas against Jorge Santi, interrupted by Scum, who takes both of them out. Steve Corino cuts a promo, and then Nigel McGuinness comes out and speaks. Brings out Jay Lethal and Michael Elgin with him. And then they both agreed to stipulations for Border Roars. If Scum defeats Elgin and Jay Lethal, Scum, I believe Matt Hardy, the whole I'm God that Steve Carino does is a bit sacrilegious, I believe. But and unnecessary, and then my spiritual son, this is kind of stupid to me, but you know, I understand it is a character, yeah, it was a little, it's unnecessary, but I believe Matt Hardy would have a world title match, and Steve Corino would be a permanent announcer. So, I believe most likely, I mean, the predictability is pretty much there. As far as Elgin and Lethal losing. But I hope it's not the expense of one of them joining Scum. If Elgin joins, I wouldn't be as, unaccepting as I would Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal and Scum just wouldn't fit. So we'll see what that happens. And then finally, Matt Taven defeats ACH. Good match there. All right. Flavor of the Week time. We're going to talk about the whether the mid-card titles should they be unified. So we're going to have a second opinion. The question is, again, should they be unified? I think you have so much prestige with both titles. Now, like I said before, you have 6 hours, 6.5 hours of programming. You have a decent amount. I mean, you have a good amount of mid-carders that just are kind of just sitting there doing nothing. So do I believe that the mid-card titles should be unified? My answer is coming up. But before that, I want to bring back in our Raw correspondent, Derek, to share his thoughts on whether the mid-card titles should be unified or not. What's your take on it, Derek?
Well, my take on it is simple. Yes. I mean, you have the U.S. title. Remember the TV championship, whatever happened to that, your TV title. And in a way, the world heavyweight title that was once owned by Ric Flair and this old guy, Harley Race. I mean, it's, what does it do anymore? It doesn't do much. There was once a unified title. What happened to that? But I kind of forget what happened. However, though, yeah, the Intercontinental title should overshadow all this. The Intercontinental title used to be something that was so prestigious. If you got that, you're way to the stage. The next step was the WWE title. So, kind of where does the NWA title fit into that? We want structure in WWE, and we don't really have that now. So, once again, you know, you've got all these different titles. Put it in the one. The Intercontinental Championship should be prestigious, that, you know, you're at least worth what they want to have as the future WWE championship. But then working the NWA title, you don't have that. The NWA title's sort of kind of become a joke. We don't need that. We need someone legit. We need somebody prestigious to really take that title and make it something important. But how does that to the Intercontinental title? They should never really have become compared to each other. So it's kind of a hard shot. Mid-carders are Intercontinental titles. Mid-carders are also now NWA title holders. So,
well, the U.S. title. Mm-hmm.
The U.S. title is nothing. I haven't seen the U.S. title in a long time. What happened to that?
Kofi Kingston has it now.
He has it now?
Yeah.
It was, again, I like Kofi Kingston. He could really hold it. But do we need that many champions? I mean, it always became confusing. Watching WCW, WWF back in the day, who's really the mid-carder. But I think it should be the Intercontinental title. So we'll just leave it at that. And when you get to TNA, you've got the X Championship. And my question to you is, Miss Techmacher, what movie was she from? Original movie from the 80s. Miss Techmacher! If you can answer that. But, yeah, you got the U.S. title, the TV championship title, World Heavyweight title. That can all be rolled into one to the Intercontinental Championship. Should we have more than one in WWE? Probably not, but, again, I don't see that much. I don't see anyone that really needs to be pushed that far. So it's a matter of who's worthy of it, who can do it. It's fun to have, I guess, five different titles, but also it's good to have one, Intercontinental. This is the person that needs to be looked at. This is a person that who is worthy of the WWE Championship in the next year or two. But also, again, the NWA title owned by Ric Flair, Harley Race, all these people in the past, Frank Gotch. Go back to Ed Strangler Lewis. This title deserves prestige. Who's got it? You know, the person who has it, how does he deserve it? Nah, who knows? So let's go on that. What should we do if the wrestling world is just WWE? You've got TNA. But WWE is the centerfold, so let's go with that. And that's how I feel about it. Intercontinental Championship all the way. The rest of them, not small potatoes. But again, if I held the USA Championship television, TV title, radio sponsorship, whatever it's called, let's go with that. But what do you think?
All right, thanks so much for your take, Derek. Superman 2 was the answer to that trivia question. So essentially what Derek is saying, he believes that the it's funny that he forgot where the U.S. title was, seeing how Antonio Cesaro was off TV for so long and losing matches, seeing how he commented on the U.S. title a few weeks ago. But Kofi Kingston is, but he wasn't even on Raw, so I guess that's one of the defenses that he has, or offenses that he has, of why the title should be unified. And from what it seems, he believes that the major title, the main event title, should be unified too. Now, I'm going to disagree with that. I'm going to take a different spin on that. The reason why I think that none of the titles should be unified is because you have so much talent and you need to use as much talent as you possibly can. Now, let me throw some names out there that could be good mid-carders. Sin Cara, R-Truth, Zack Ryder, Michael McGillicuddy, Alex Riley, Yoshitatsu, JTG, maybe Bo Dallas. He was called up, now he's back. Ezekiel Jackson. I mean, you have a ton of mid-carders. Santino Marella. I'll probably keep saying some as I keep, you know, even Kali would be a decent mid-carder because he can win a mid-card title and just, you know, just to be a transitional champion and put someone over. For instance, just imagine Michael McGillicuddy getting the TV title, the TV exposure that he deserves. Just The Miz is another person that Sheamus, you know, he's between a main eventer and mid-carder. And even the main eventers, you know, I don't think it takes any of their, you know, prestige away for being a mid-carder, like Randy Orton winning the U.S. title. If he did that, that wouldn't take anything away from him. And so you have a ton of people that can be in the mid-card. Say the Great Khali defeats White Bear for the Intercontinental title. And Michael McGillicuddy comes up, starts a feud with Kali. Kali becomes a transitional champion for Michael McGillicuddy. Of course, Fandango, but Michael McGillicuddy to just keep thinking of different names that are in the mid-card, but back to McGillicuddy. McGillicuddy could feud with someone like Kali or Santino or Zack Ryder or something like that to win the title from Wade Barrett, become a transitional champion, and that's the mid-card scene for you. I mean, there's so much going on in the mid-card. Now, Road Scholars can still be teammates, and they can still be in the mid-card. You know, you have so many different options of people that can be in the mid-card. There's so many mid-carders right now that you can have two titles. And plus, there's so much prestige that comes with both titles. You still have Raw and SmackDown as far as touring is concerned for the WWE. You still have house shows that can feature a title match. And it's been reported that that's one of the reasons why the main event titles aren't unified because, for instance, like the World Heavyweight Championship can be defended in a live event, which is a good idea. I mean, I like that. I like the reason why it's not being unified because of that. The fact that you have four major titles, it makes the pay-per-view better. You know, it just makes better programming. If you just have two titles, you have just a bunch of people vying for nothing. And it would make the condition a lot worse because it would just be, like I said, just a bunch of people. You have the Intercontinental title, you have the WWE Championship, and you have four or five dozen people on the WWE roster. So having just two titles, not a good idea. And then you have people from NXT that's going to eventually get called up. Then you got the new training facility in Florida that's going to get people to get to NXT to be called up. And then, of course, you still have, you know, people from the indies that are, you know, or people that are from TNA that are free agents, kind of like RVD. And so you have, Bobby Roode was, you know, one of those people who had his contract lapse and could have been snatched by the WWE. Devon was another person, but I don't think Devon would have been any relevance as a singles wrestler in the WWE if he would have came back. But you still got Matt Hardy out there. And so you have a lot of people who can just come in that mid-card. And this one thing that I can't agree with what Derek was saying was that the mid-card title back in the day was basically the launch pad to the World Heavyweight Championship. And I do believe that that should still be intact. I mean, it should still be the launch pad. They don't use it right in that sense. However, I do think that there are so many wrestlers just there that if you only had two titles, they would have nothing to vie for, and then the pay-per-views would be just a bore to watch. So, Derek, I see that you have more to say. What can you add? What do you want to add, sir?
Well, yeah, I don't have to add much. Yeah. Awesome job tonight. This is a great Pancakes and Power Slam. So everybody should be listening to this that has anything to do with wrestling or likes wrestling. In your opinion, would you rather win the World Heavyweight Championship owned by Ric Flair and owned by Ron Simmons, owned by
Sting, Luger,
Rhodes, whatever.
Steamboat.
Steamboat, especially. Harley Race, Frank Gotch. But or would you rather have the WWE Championship? owned by Hulk Hogan, Bob Backlund, Bruno Sammartino, and superstar Billy Graham. What's your take on that? See you.
Great question. Thank you for that, Derek, once again. And I think that right now, I would rather have the WWE Championship just because the World Heavyweight Championship is a WWE title now. It's a WWE product title. Now, I believe that the World Heavyweight Championship still has a ton of prestige. Anything related to the big gold belt is going to bring prestige. Now, if they had the World Heavyweight Championship and it was just a whole different belt, I can maybe reason with the unification. But no, the big gold belt is still intact. And that belt has so much lineage to it that you cannot just extinguish that type of pedigree. You just can't do it. That's why I still think that big gold belt, I mean, the belt itself makes the World Heavyweight Championship so legitimate to me, so relevant to me, that everyone who has it should not feel second rate. Now, CM Punk did kind of make a jab to Sheamus when they were champions, and CM Punk was WWE champion, and Sheamus was the World Heavyweight Champion, and CM Punk made some reference similar to, Sheamus being World Heavyweight Champion is just second to my championship and always will be, or something like that, paraphrasing, of course. But although that is true in the WWE, I definitely don't feel that that's true just in the totality and generally speaking, in the big picture. I don't think that's the case. I really think that the big gold belt has so much lineage to it. I was going to write an article about it, and I still think that I may, on Bleacher Report. I think the big gold belt is still legitimate, and Dolph Ziggler should be. I mean, and as you can see, that he is. He was, he marked out himself when he won the title, and rightfully so. I mean, nobody should ever take those any type of title wins for granted, even if you had it for like Flair's run 16 times, 17th time should feel like the first one. So, with either title, and I think because of that, both titles should stay. And if there is only one world title, there'll be a bunch of legitimate main eventers with nothing to do, and that just would not be good. So, hope that my explanation convinced and persuaded some listeners who believe that it should be unified. Thank you all for listening live. 347-884-8452 is the number to put in your back pocket for next week. Continue to tune in. Let your friends know. Pancakes and Power Slams. Subscribe on iTunes. Follow at Crave Wrestling. Like the Facebook page. We have a lot of fun trivia there as well. And, latest news, articles from me from Bleacher Report. So continue to support Crave Wrestling there. And like I said, if you have a Flavor of the Week topic, send it to cravewrestling@gmail.com. Follow my articles on the Bleacher Report. And real quick, I definitely want to have a quick moment of silence for the victims of the Boston Marathon bombing and the explosion in West Texas. So my prayers go out to the victims of those tragic events, and I really pray for the peace of the friends and family of the victims of both of those occurrences. So my heart goes out to everyone involved in that. Just so many people wounded. Many deaths, many people injured and wounded and maimed, And I just really, my prayers go out to the friends and family of everyone involved in those. So because of the fact that, those people involved are understandably grieving. I just really, if I can give anyone any encouragement, it would be to stand strong, to stay strong, rebuild from this, and understand that God is in control. So, brief moment of silence for the people involved in both of those occurrences. All right. Well, like I said, my prayers go out to everyone involved in both of those instances, both of those tragic events. And we are a strong nation, speaking of the United States, and we will rebuild. We will recover from these unfortunate events. So, wrote an article on Bleacher Report about the Boston Marathon bombing, so check that out. But just continue to support Crave Wrestling, Pancakes, and Power Slams. As Derek would say, it's the best night of the week, and I really appreciate all of his scholarly contributions and the very fact that he and all the others on the Crave Wrestling team put their hard work and dedication and contribution into making just all the social media outlets fun and exciting, and making this show fun and exciting as well. Continue to support. We need your support. Pancakes and Power Slams will not happen without your support. I'm not just going to sit here and talk to myself every week. I see there are a lot of people through the numbers that I get back from the listeners and all the tweets and emails and all the feedback that I get. I really appreciate it. Don't hesitate to call in live, 347-884-8452. All right, until next week, thank you so much for listening to the show. We hope you have a wonderful week. Remember, next week, if you want to know a little bit more about the Shield's Dean Ambrose, our Raw correspondent Derek is going to let you know the ins and outs of Dean Ambrose from The Shield. So thank you so much for listening. And like I said, stay tuned. Stick very, very close to the Crave Wrestling Twitter page at Crave Wrestling. Stick very, very close to the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. And, of course, be sure to listen to the show every week and let other people know. Got some fun names in store for upcoming interviews. So stay close. Stick close to us, and we'll let you know more details as they unfold. All right, well, thank you so much for listening. Have a great week, and until next week, enjoy your wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.